Our scripture reading for this hour's lesson is found in the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 13, verses 18 through 20. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 18. Moses records, "And see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that dwell therein, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring the fruit of the land." Now the time was of the time of the first ripe grapes. Once again, a pleasant good morning to you. We are so appreciative of you being here. So many smiling faces. And as was mentioned, glad that those that have been traveling are back. And we continue to remember those who are traveling in our prayers. Thank you for making our Vacation Bible School a success. Regardless of the part that you had to play in that, thank you for your efforts on that. And happy birthday, Mark Prater. Does that work? Okay, you can congratulate him later. There was this woman walking down the street. She got bit by a dog that was suspected of having rabies. So they took the lady to the doctor and they give her a shot. And the doctor comes in and explains the serious nature of what it means to be bitten by a dog that has rabies. And so she immediately, out of her pocketbook, pulls out a little notebook and starts writing things down. And the doctor said, "Ma'am, are you writing your will? It's probably not that serious." And she said, "No, I was just making a list of people to bite if I get rabies." Okay. I thought Mark might like that. I don't know. Anyways, we're glad that you're here. I want to start a short series to close out the month of July in the 9 o'clock hour. I want to talk about two Bible heroes, but I'm going to do them in the reverse order in which you normally hear them. You normally hear of Joshua and Caleb. I want to do Caleb and Joshua, because that's how we're going to look at it, biblically speaking. So today, I want us to look at Caleb and how he is a man of courage, because we're going to come to his story first in the book of Numbers. Not that we wouldn't have already, if we were just reading through the Old Testament, of course, come to Joshua. He's first introduced by Exodus 17. But nonetheless, I want us today, Lord willing, to talk about how Caleb is a man of courage. And maybe we can find some attitudes from the life of Caleb that you and I can adopt to our lives. And then, Lord willing, next week we'll learn some lessons from Joshua as well. So kind of a short run here, but I want us to do it. I believe it will be worthwhile of our study. Caleb is a man of courage. In fact, Caleb is a hero of Israel. I am afraid more times than not that we overlook Caleb. We think more about Joshua, probably because there's a book of Joshua, and so many great stories come out of that book. Of course they do. We studied one in depth during our Vacation Bible School this past week, the story of Rahab. We also studied about the walls falling down and his great declaration of choosing to follow the Lord. Well, there are many great lessons that we can learn from this hero as well, and I want us to look at those. See, Caleb had the faith and the courage to obey God to his fullest ability. I want to highlight, Lord willing, a couple of different examples where Caleb had to show courage. He had to show his faith to the best of his ability. Now, there's a typo in this slide. It should say Numbers 13 and 6, not number 6. I don't know where that 13 went. Jump back up to Numbers chapter 13, really where we first are introduced to him. They are going to go into the promised land. You know, we sing the song, "To Canaan's land, I'm on my way." They could have sang a similar song because they were going to go into the land of Canaan to eventually possess it. We see that being fulfilled in the book of Joshua. But there are 12 tribes representing the 12 sons of Jacob. Well, really, Levi didn't get his own tribe because he was interspersed among the other tribes. And so Joseph gets two, Ephraim and Manasseh. There were 3.5 on one side and the others on the other side of the river. But nonetheless, there were 12 tribes which represented all of Israel. And so out of each tribe, they were to select a man to go in and spy out the land. So Numbers 13 and 6 of the tribe of Judah, here we go, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. So Caleb is first introduced to us in Holy Scripture as a man who's going to go out and spy out the land. A very important job. In fact, and this is probably shame on me and maybe shame on you as well, if you were to ask me the 12 spies, I know off the top of my head I can name two of them, Joshua and Caleb. And then after that, because we remember the good ones, right? We don't focus on the bad. You know the story. They go into the land to spy it out. What is interesting is for them to be chosen as a representative to go into the promised land, by necessity, they would have already had to have been a leader. Already had to have been somebody that the people would have known, would have respected. So when your representative comes back, you're going to believe what he says. Is that not what we do theoretically in government? We elect representatives from our area and they divide up the state and we're a certain district. And that person comes from our district so they can plead on our behalf and come back and tell us things. Well, that's kind of how it happened here. You know, Caleb truly was a courageous leader. Four things I want us to look at here in the book of Numbers about Caleb, a man of courage. And the number one, we've got to set the scene in that Moses is going to send the spies into the promised land. Now, here's where we were reading a moment ago, back up to verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. And they said, and said unto them, get you this way southward and go up to the mountain. So you're going to climb up on a mountain. Why? Good vantage point. And you're going to look down and see, number one, what the land looks like. What about the people? Are they strong people? Are they weak? If they're weak, your job's going to be a whole lot easier. If they're strong people, God still won't give you the land, but strong people, you're going to have to work for it, at least in theory a little bit more. Look at the land itself. Is it good land or bad land? You know, you would want to go conquer a land that is good. You wouldn't really want to go conquer a land that is a big swamp if you're planning on going in and planting crops, because it's just not going to work. No matter how much you work the ground, sometimes it just will not take. Look at the cities. You got to remember, there are inhabitants in these cities. Are they tents? Would be a whole lot easier to take over people in tents. Are they big walled cities? Now, we actually know the answer to that. Jericho is a very big walled city. Up on a hill, probably actually had two sets of walls. That's kind of foreshadowing. But you go look at the land. And is it a fat land or is it a lean land? But notice here in verse 20, be ye of good courage and bring the fruit of the land. So see what kind of crops they're growing. And then the Bible tells us, Moses by inspiration tells us it was time for the first ripe grapes. Now that's going to be important. Moses gave them a specific assignment. Can you conquer the land? I need you to go do a little investigation, some recon work, if you will. What do you think? Now keep in mind, this whole time, God's already made the decision for them. They're going to conquer the land. It really doesn't matter what the inhabitants are. God's already going to conquer the land. God has said, this is going to be your land. I'm going to give it to you. But he wants their input. So a specific instruction. Go look at the land. Is it good land? Is it bad? What do the people look like? What about the tents? Now what I find interesting as the story progresses, that he encouraged them, verse 20, to be of good courage. You know the story, right? The 12 spies go in. 10 come back and say, we can't do it. The people are strong. We're weak. Notice here, look at verse 28. Nevertheless, the people that dwell in the land, they're strong. They've got walled cities. We saw the children of Anak there, Amalekites. They're dwelling in the land to the south, Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites. They're in the mountains. Canaanites are by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. These people are strong. These cities are well fortified. The people of Anak were known as being giants. And so they said, they make us feel as if we are grasshoppers in their sights. Now, exactly how tall were these individuals? That could be, I guess, an area of debate and maybe some speculation. But they were tall enough, plus when you're in armor, plus when you're scared, people look a lot taller than they might actually be. Now, I've met some tall individuals in my life. I used to work with a 6 foot 6 inch guy. There's a guy who comes by the radio station every week. He's 6 feet 8. So I just look up, or I stand at a distance so we can kind of see eye to eye. I kind of feel like a grasshopper in his sight. We stand back a little bit, as it were. But he doesn't scare me. But these tall people, these walled cities, these strong people, they scared the spies, at least 10 of them. Two said, we can take it. Two of them said, God has already given us this land. Let's just go possess it. Joshua and Caleb, that is. We can do it. But the 10, we can't do it. And unfortunately, I wish this was an isolated case, but unfortunately, it seems more times than not, people go with the majority rather than the minority. Had they gone with the minority, they would have had a whole lot easier time. We can take the land. They're going to take it right there. The majority, well, we just don't think we can. They listened to the majority. They were there for 40 days. And so God says, okay, you're going to have to wander around for 40 years, a day for every year. And that's how the book of Numbers gets its name. They number the people at the start of the book. They number the people at the end of the book. And it's a 40-year journey, basically in a big circle, because they were not confident in God's ability. But I want you to think about this before we move on. Since Caleb is a man of courage, that's our topic for this hour. Think about how courageous it would be, number one, to go to a land where you don't know and check it out. Now, I know God said to do it, but it still takes courage to act upon that. But number two, how courageous it would have to be to come back knowing that you are not of the prevailing thought. Let's look at number two. That leads us into it. Caleb made an appeal. In fact, it was a fervent appeal, if you will. Keep the story going here. In Numbers chapter 13, verses 30 through 33, after the people have given their report, the ten have, that they're strong, they're walled cities, there's giants there, there's people just all over the place, Caleb stilled the people before Moses. And he said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Not just able, we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. All the people that saw it are men of a great stature. We saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we in our own sight are as grasshoppers. We were afraid, they say. We were terrified. But notice that appeal from Caleb. We can take it. God has given us this land, a very fervent appeal. There must have been some charm about Caleb that he can steal a mob. You've been around people where this group's talking, that group's talking, they're not agreeing, and then somebody will stand up to speak and everybody just gets quiet, listens to them. In my mind, that's what Caleb does. A well-respected man gets up, makes his appeal. We can take it. We are well able to do so. Unfortunately, a majority of the people believe the ten. Go back to verse number 2 of this chapter. The word of the Lord comes to Moses saying, send thou men that they may search out the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, a ruler. God already said at the beginning of this chapter, I have given you the land. What part of this don't you understand? He's given you the keys to a car today and say, go take it. And they go look at the car and go, I don't know how to drive a stick shift. Well, you can learn. He's given it to you. Go take it. But unfortunately, the people, they don't listen to Caleb. They don't listen to Joshua. Only those two stood firm. They don't listen to reasoning. Caleb served the people's uneasiness. They listened. Caleb had a different report. He was calm. He was contrasted to the lacking of the ten. You ever met somebody who's scared? More times than not, they're frantic. When they're truly scared, they're frantic. Their mind's just racing. Can't develop long sentences. They're short, choppy sentences. Can you imagine having 10 people who were scared about this land with these short little bursts. And then Caleb just walks calmly. What a great contrast. Who would I want to listen to? Would I want to take my instructions from somebody who's scared or somebody who's calm? Well, I would want to take it from someone who's calm. Notice this. Caleb's life demonstrated faith and courage in God. He was not controlled by the fear of the Canaanites, those who dwelt in the land of Canaan. In fact, Caleb was a can-do person. In my notes, I have titled him Can-Do Caleb because he knows that with God, he can do it. Now, can he do it on his own? No, certainly not. You can't cast out all those inhabitants on your own. But with God, he becomes Can-Do Caleb. And you know what I find most interesting? Caleb saw the exact same thing that the other 10 did, and Joshua did too. They saw the exact same event, the exact same land, exact same people. But Caleb acts in faith, and the people around him act in fear. See, Joshua and Caleb, they're relying upon God, urging people to take the land. That's very courageous, isn't it? You know, today we are like Caleb, because everybody else, the louder voice in the room of the world, is telling us, you can't do it. Your God's not powerful enough. He's not strong enough. He's not even listening, if he's even there. That's what the world says. And that's the louder voice in the room. And the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? So a lot of people are going to be listening to the louder voice. And then there are Calebs in the world. God can take it. It is ours. God has promised and he is faithful. Listen to the Calebs of the world. Don't listen to the rest of the 10. That takes some courage to be willing to stand up when the majority around you, I can't say everyone, Joshua, of course, is on his side, but the majority was against him. And he still found courage to stand up for that. Let's look at number 3, and this one will have a good little reading with it. A lack of faith, we learn, brings destruction. Conversely, loyalty will bring a reward. A lack of faith is going to bring destruction. Royalty, pardon me, will bring a reward. Let's read the first 10 verses of the 14th chapter of Numbers. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against his brother Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we would have died in the land of Egypt, or that we would have just died in this wilderness. Wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their face before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, they tore their clothes. And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then we shall bring, then he will bring us into his land and give it us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. The Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Can you imagine this? You have just said God can give us this land. He's already told us he will. We have fulfilled. Here is our report. And then the people said, why'd you even take us out of Egypt? We were fine in Egypt. Well, they weren't. They were an enslaved people. They were lower than low. In fact, Egyptian slaves are treated better than the Israelites were. If a Hebrew died, they didn't really care. If an Egyptian died, it was a big deal. Why would you want to go back? They want to go back so much, they're willing to rebel against Aaron and against Moses. And they try to find them a leader, and it makes Joshua and Caleb so mad, they tear their clothes. You ever been that mad? That you just want to rip your clothes off. That's a true sign in Scripture. When somebody rents their clothing, They're very irritated. And then God appears before them. Can you imagine? You're doing what God tells you to do. God said we can take the land. And when you do what you're supposed to do, those people around you want to stone you. Did you catch that? Verse 10, the congregation, all the congregation, bade to stone them with stones. Instead of listening to a voice of reason, they want to snuff it out. Because Joshua and Caleb suggested they could take the land. This is not a problem of strength. It's a problem of the Israelites' faith. The Israelites did not have proper, adequate faith in God because they just could not, in their little mind, they could not figure out how God is going to give them the victory. But I love what he says there in verse number 8. It is a land which flows with milk and honey, a land full of possessions. Verse number 9, they are bread for us. Their defense has left them. They look strong, but they don't know if their plans are not going to work because God's going to use them to our advantage. But they want to kill Joshua and Caleb. Hold your place in the book of Numbers. We're going to come back. Let's run this reference in the book of Hebrews real quick. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 19. I believe this sums it up very well. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 19. The Hebrew writer says, and he's using as an example really in verse number 16, for some when they had heard did not provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? See, the Hebrew writer is using part of our story as an example. And to whom he swore they should not enter to his rest, but to them that believed not, notice. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. It's not that they weren't strong enough to take the land, because God plus one is a majority. So if God's on their side, they're going to win. They couldn't take the land because they didn't believe that they could take the land. They didn't believe in God's promises. Go back to the book of Numbers. Notice here, God told the Israelites that all over 20 years old would die in the wilderness. See, faith brings lack of faith brings destruction. Loyalty brings reward. Notice here, Numbers 14 and verse 33. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcass shall be wasted in the wilderness. After the manner of the days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities. Even 40 years ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness, that they be consumed, and there they shall die, and the men which Moses sent to search the land who returned, and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. Even those men who did bring up the evil report upon the land, they died by the plague before the Lord. A lack of faith brings destruction, does it not? Because the people listen to the wrong crowd, they're going to be destroyed. Because of their lack of faith and of courage, because of their failure to trust in God, and because of their failure to follow His commands, follow His instructions. But keep going. Notice verse 38. But Joshua, the son of Nun, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. Now, still's in italics. That's been provided. Literally, they just lived. You see a contrast? The ten, whose names that we don't remember, they died of a plague. Destruction because of a lack of faith. But Joshua and Caleb lived. In fact, Joshua and Caleb would have been the oldest. They get to go in, or among the oldest, get to go into the promised land. See, everyone that was above 20 years and older were going to die in the next 40 years, save for Joshua and Caleb. They get to see the promised land. Joshua is going to be the one that leads them into the promised land. Caleb becomes a well-respected person because he heeded God's warning. He was given a special reward. Jump back to verse 24. of this chapter, Numbers 14 and 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto we possess, and his seed shall possess it. A lack of faith brings destruction. Loyalty brings reward. Joshua and Caleb get to go to the promised land. And all those age 20 and above that were there that day didn't get to. How would you feel knowing right then and there, if you were anything older than 20, you basically know you're going to die in the next 40 years because you're not going to make it to the promised land because of your lack of faith. It takes courage to do the right thing. Let's look at our last one. Faithful obedience brings peace, or brings praise, excuse me. Faithful obedience to the law brings praise. In fact, the highest praise that can ever be bestowed. Not praise of men, praise of God. Such service has always attained the highest reward for time and eternity. You know, we live under the New Testament today, and we know our promises. But you got to think, people under the Old Testament time, if you followed the law of Moses faithfully, and you did your commandments, and you kept your sacrifices, if you died pleasing to the Lord, He's going to reward you. And if you died unfaithful to the Lord, you were going to be punished. And it's the same for us today. Faithful obedience to God always brings a reward. It's a principle, if you will, of fidelity. And it should govern us, not only in the small affairs of life, but in the larger ones. It should. What would Jesus do? He would love first, and He would be obedient to God. Is it a trivial thing? In our eyes, a small thing it might be, but I still need to serve God in that. Is it a big decision on coming, let's say, coming to worship, patterning my life after His Word? You better believe that's important. It's only by adhering to this principle, which I believe is well illustrated by Caleb, that both true men and women are made. Because Caleb was willing to pattern his life after things that were pleasing to the Lord. So service to God, faithful service to God, obedience brings a reward. Let's sum this up in our conclusion, shall we? Go with me to the book of Joshua. Let's see it fulfilled. Don't take my word for it. Caleb claimed his possession. Caleb claimed his reward. See, God said, I'm going to give you a possession. Joshua 14, verses 6, almost through the end of the chapter. Then the children of Judah, now you got to remember, they've come into the land. The destruction of those in Jericho began a siege that lasts through the entirety of the book of Joshua. Some 30 different kingdoms they will overthrow in the land. When they are faithful to God, they are more victorious in the battle. We learn those examples from Achan and others where they are not as successful or even lose a battle, have to regroup and go attack again. But I want you to notice here, as they are dividing up the land, the children of Judah, which was Caleb's tribe, came unto Joshua in Gilgal. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee and Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on me that day, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake his word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am here 85 years old. He's 85. And yet I am as strong this day as I was the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardst in the day that the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Was God faithful to Caleb? Yes. Did he receive his blessing right away? No. He had to endure the 40 years of wilderness wandering, just like everybody else. And then from what we can tell, since he was 40 to spy out the land, and they wandered for 40 years, this is now 5 years into the conquest of Canaan, or the lands of Canaan. But God is faithful to him. Dear friends, Christians, we need to know and remember the promises of God. There is no doubt in my mind every day for 45 years, which is a lot of days, that Caleb remembered the promise of God and longed for the day when that promise would be fulfilled. Sometimes, knowing the promises of God and longing for them to be fulfilled, if it is something simple as Jesus returning and ending this old world, longing for those promises to be fulfilled, encourage us to keep going. What about this one? Caleb realized there was much to do in the land. He said, I'm still strong enough. I need to fortify this land. Dear Christian, we must depend upon God as our source of salvation, because Caleb gave God the credit for his strength, not himself. Here's our last one. Caleb remained faithful during 40 years in the wilderness. Can you imagine that? These are your contemporaries, and you see them literally dropping like flies. There's some 2.5 million people age 40 and above. That's a conservative number. Age 40 and above. There's 2.5 million people. That means on average, 2 million of those people are going to have to die in 40 years. You do go to a lot of funerals. Actually, you didn't even have funerals. You didn't have time for it. He saw his friends, his cohorts, they all died. But he kept the faith. Christians, we must keep the faith. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 10. Be faithful unto death, and that's when I give you the crown of life. So today, we must remember that God is on our side. And we must not get the whole grasshopper complex that the 10 had. Obviously and sadly, they forgot God. They forgot God. So choose you this day whom you will serve. Do you want to be like Caleb? Be a can-do Caleb. Do your part. Be courageous, just like Caleb, and do your part. God's done his. He sent Jesus Christ to die upon the cross to save you from your sins. But if you don't obey, then you're not taking advantage of the death of Christ. Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, you go down that watery grave, come out a new creature alive in Christ. Why not become a Christian this very hour? If you are a Christian, remain faithful to the very end, knowing that's when you receive that crown of life. Be a Caleb. Endure the long haul, knowing that God is faithful in his promises. If we can help you in any way at all, we ask you, let it be known while we stand and while we sing.